Second case of the morning, United States versus George Bay. Ms. Evans?
Good morning, Your Honors. I am Demetrius Evans, and I represent the defendant appellant in this case, Mr. George E. Bay, Jr. This case comes before you on really three issues. The first two are, I believe that they are factual. Mr. Bay pled guilty to mail fraud. There were seven counts, as well as a count for forfeiture. Mr. Bay completely came forth and told the government everything about the crimes, including the names of the victims, how things happened, and he expected, when he pled guilty, to receive acceptance of responsibility. When he, as is customary, when he pled guilty and then was told to go to the probation office, his attorney did not go with him. There was a decision made that if he was needed, that he would be called. Mr. Bay's attorney was not called, and Mr. Bay proceeded with the interview, with the probation interview, and was asked a series of questions to which he was very confused and didn't know how to respond, but thought that he should respond as truthfully as possible. Now, the main question in this case came when Mr. Bay was asked about property in Lansing, Illinois. To be specific, the piece of property was a single-family home owned by he and his ex-wife.
Well, but see, that's where obviously he runs into trouble, because after the divorce decree, it's the same sort of thing as if you're selling a house. Once you have the real estate contract to sell the house, the buyer has an equitable interest in the house, even though you don't close until sometime later. And in terms of his real interest in this house, he knew perfectly well that the wife had the full interest. All that was necessary was to present the quitclaim deed, and she was ready to sign it. And even if she wasn't, frankly, last I checked, the courts of Illinois are open to enforce divorce decrees. It really doesn't make any difference if she wanted to or not. So when he presents this, it's not that anything he says is wrong. It's just that it's incomplete and very misleading in its incompleteness.
Your Honor, and I believe that that is what probation found. However, I would like you to take into consideration that Mr. Bay was in an adversarial position. The probation officer, from what I understand, of course I was not there, had basically made up her mind about, she knew about the decree, so she asked a question that was probably misleading in itself, and the question was, what about this Lansing property?
Well, but you know, I'm looking at his financial affidavit. This appears, I don't know whose handwriting it is, it's on this, but it says Lansing, Illinois, in his name, capital letters, and former wife. So, you know, if he knew he was in an adversarial position, he should have been actually extra careful about what he said.
I agree, Your Honor, he was.
But why say that it's... Look, I mean, the whole thing actually looks suspicious to me, because if he's been divorced from this woman for 20 years, give or take, and has allowed half the property to stay in her name and yet use the house, which is what the record looks like, it certainly looks like he's trying to make it difficult for people to see what property he owns.
He had actually asked her to quit claim the property, and as in divorces, there was contention between them.
But so, your brief makes it sound like he was helpless on that, and the fact is that the courts every day see divorced spouses come in seeking to enforce various terms like this of a divorce decree.
Your Honor, I don't believe that he was helpless, but he was in a position where adversarial on one hand, not having a lawyer, having just pled to seven counts of mail
for 20 years, he couldn't get the house? The divorce is, maybe not quite 20 years, but the divorce is something like 1986, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Right. So, all right, 18 years.
So I mean, there was this contention. I agree that's a long time, but there was this contention between them. But when probation asked the question, he truthfully answered that the home was in both names. And then probation says, well, there's this suggestion that because the decree says that there needs to be a quitclaim deed, that then he's not somehow being truthful. And then the district court goes on to agree without the government providing any type of evidence.
wait a minute. I have to remember whose brief this is attached to. There's a copy. Oh, here it is. It's attached to your brief. This master search, which I guess this is the title, right, of this property, shows divorce filed 319.
Yes, Your Honor.
I don't know. It seems to me to say that there's no inkling that this property isn't really his. In most people don't keep property with their ex-wives forever. It just isn't that kind of relationship.
He didn't say that it wasn't his.
He said it wasn't solely his. He said it was a one half ownership, which is plainly wrong. He had an equitable full ownership in it, and he had a nominal one-half ownership that at any moment he could have converted to the full ownership.
But go with me for one second, Your Honor. If you're in that position, and then you say, well, the property's all mine, and then the government, meaning U.S. probation, goes back and looks then you look like you're lying.
No, the alternative is to say, subject to the divorce decree. I mean, the alternative is to actually tell the truth, which is subject to the divorce decree and a right to a quit claim. He knew that.
He did know that the property should have been quit claim and wasn't.
So but I don't think the alternative is to misleadingly say it's all his either, but it's just so counterintuitive. Most people would rather get the property than leave it in now a stranger's hands for a couple of decades.
I agree, but having this problem before you, in the district court, then the judge could have easily said, what does the wife say about this property being quitclaim? Why wasn't it quitclaim for 20 years? What is the problem? But the court doesn't do that. The court makes a determination to decide based on probation, which I argue in the brief is it's a bit secretive. And then given the new sentencing laws around the Booker case, it seems that the judge would have probed it just a little bit more and tried to figure out what was going on in this case. And I believe that goes to the beyond a reasonable doubt standard.
Were there any other significant assets in question?
There were other assets in question, Your Honor. And
when you lay out whatever assets could have been, and we've got a $400,000 restitution. House is worth what, $150,000 or so?
Yes.
So what else was worth, let's say, five figures or more?
I believe Mr. Bay had another piece of property, and there was some money in the bank.
But not much.
No.
This is it. And so when it's deceptive, as the judge saw it, that the major asset that he has at hand is not all his, maybe held jointly or something. That kind of hope might deflect the fact that he's got at least one major asset. And I also assume maybe the record doesn't show it that he paid property tax on it for 20 years.
Yes, Your Honor.
As well as taking some of these proceeds and paying off the mortgage.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. What's your belief as to why he didn't disclose it? Why didn't he disclose it from your point of view?
I think that Mr. Bay was in a position where if I say that I do own the property and they go and look and find out that it's still jointly owned, then it looks like I'm lying. If I tell the truth, which is the property is jointly owned, then it looks like I'm lying. So it was an either-or situation. And probation may be at fault in this situation.
How are they at fault?
She didn't ask. She didn't.
That's her fault for not asking?
Well, if you're the...
Didn't she ask him, what are your assets?
She did, and he truthfully told her assets.
He told her if this or if that. If you believe this, then it's that, or if you believe that, it's this.
Oh, no, sir. He told her, yes, I own this property. I see the light.
No, go ahead.
He told her that I own this property jointly with my ex-wife.
Okay. I assume you want to save the rest for your...
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Bars?
May it please the court. Jim Bars on behalf of the United States. On the first issue that wasn't discussed, the government preserves its plain error argument but acknowledges this court's holding in Palladino and that a limited remand would be necessary to determine if the court would have imposed a lower sentence under advisory guidelines. Turning to the factual issues, there's no need for a full remand because the district court did not commit clear error in finding that the defendant had obstructed and had failed to accept responsibility.
The only thing I would ask you, Mr. Bars, about that is that when somebody, however picky this may be, when somebody fills out a financial affidavit in a matter that is literally true, which I take it this, everybody agrees, this was literally true. The title was still held jointly by the ex-wife and Mr. Bay. To go all the way to deny the, I could see denying acceptance of responsibility on that, but to go the next step and say you're actually obstructing justice seems to me very harsh. If he had actually failed to put the, what's left for the person who fails to put the property down at all or who in other ways misrepresents on these affidavits, he gets them pretty much all the information they need because they search the title, they find out that there's been a divorce, they look into the divorce decree, and it looks like it takes them no time at all to figure out that there is this unexecuted quitclaim deed out there, so he really could contribute all of that to his restitution obligation.
Well, I think that...
Is there any responsibility on that probation officer?
No, not at all.
Oh.
I think that she asked the questions.
She gets a cloudy answer.
In an interview, she gets an answer that property is jointly owned.
Which it literally was at that moment.
It was jointly owned.
Well, but not in reality.
Yes, it was.
He had an enforceable right to 100% of the property.
Pardon me?
He had an enforceable right to 100% ownership in the property that he could have executed at any point
in time.
Sure
he could have, but he hadn't.
Well, and I think
in the eyes of the court, it is jointly owned.
Well, I think as the district court probably put it best when he said if there was any indication the defendant could offer up that he had treated this thing as anything but his sole property for the last 19 years, he might have given more credence to that argument. But given the fact that this property was in the indictment, I mean, it had been alleged by the government that he used his proceeds to pay off a second mortgage on this residence, that he stole the money from his victims, and he was paying it towards his property. So we were going to both prosecute him for his fraud and take that property as illegal proceeds. So it was clear to him that not only was it related to his fines, his restitution in terms of his sentence, but it was part of the forfeiture. He had a lot of time to think about that property, and he knew fully well, I mean, I don't think there would have been any doubt in anyone's mind that if he was not being prosecuted and he was going to go sell that property, he wasn't going to split it half and half with his ex-wife.
Well, he couldn't have sold it without her signature until the quitclaim deed was executed.
How could he sell it?
No title company in the world would do that.
I agree with Judge Wood. How could he sell it?
Well, he could have easily had an attorney who could have done whatever filings were necessary.
And the probation officer could just as easily, if they were doing their job thoroughly, because they had a problem before him, ascertain the truth of the matter.
Well, I think that the probation officer did do that and was able to determine that this thing was jointly owned. And, you know, I think this case is very similar to the case.
And thus, there's no real obstruction of justice. There's nothing in the way here. I mean, we're not talking about, in a sense, anything except the obstruction of justice enhancement here, as I see it. But when he gets them as far as saying he owns the property, when we know that this property cannot be conveyed until this title issue is resolved, if he wants to sell that property, he's got to get the ex-wife in somehow. Maybe he has to go back to Illinois court and get specific enforcement of the divorce decree, whatever. I mean, there are various steps that we can imagine, but he can't sell it right now.
Well, I think that this case is similar to the cases cited in the government's brief, and that was United States versus Ramuno. In that case, the government had seized certain property, some cash and a Rolls Royce from the defendant. He's asked by the probation officer, what are your assets? He doesn't list them. And he says, oh, well, I thought since the government seized them, they weren't mine anymore. And that was found to be obstructive and affirmed. Same thing in United States versus Larson. He knows about the possibility. He doesn't have the money yet, but the possibility of getting money from a pension fund. And he fails to make a full and complete disclosure to the probation officer, which he's required to do. He's required to make a full and complete disclosure. Now, the fact that maybe the probation officer doing her job as she did here is going to find out he's lying later on.
Right, if she was doing the job as she should do it.
But just because he's not likely to succeed in lying to her doesn't mean that it's not obstructive to go ahead and lie to her. I mean, should the standard be that, you know, he's free to...
He didn't lie. He didn't have full ownership of it. until he got that quitclaim deed.
It was false, if not in representation that it was a joint ownership and something that he had an equitable 100% interest in, but also in its a material omission. For example, if someone were to simply state, I mean, think about this property. If it's worth $150,000, he is representing, I have $75,000, when in fact he's not informing about the other $75,000 that he's entitled to out of that property.
I mean, are we talking here about clear error review of Judge Kaur's finding on this? That is to say, the misleading, whether you call it a misleading omission or whatever else you want to call it, obstruction?
I believe clear error is the appropriate standard because I think it's a fact issue as to what Mr. Bay's intent was. Was he intending to represent truthfully that this was jointly owned property, as the legal title was, or was he intending to mislead and deceive the probation officer about this $75,000 worth of other assets, this other half of the property that he owned? And that was, I think, for the district court to decide, and I don't think there's any clear error in his decision. He heard the arguments of defense counsel. He had the report of the probation officer. He heard the arguments of the government. He had to make a decision. What was the intent here? And he decided the intent was to mislead. And so for all those reasons, the government respectfully requests that this case be remanded only for the limited issue under Palladino. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Evans, you've got about a minute left.
1 minute.
Your Honors, I don't believe that it was Mr. Bay's intention to lie or to mislead. I do believe that we're dealing with an issue of due process with probationary officers who can make reports based on what the types of questions they ask, and they're not lawyers, without a lawyer being present, and then those statements go into a written report, which is then secretly spoken to the district court judge, and the defense counsel nor the lawyer knows anything about it. And then this is the evidence that's presented without anything else to back it up. In this situation, Mr. Bay's sentence was doubled because of this enhancement for obstruction of justice, and he didn't receive the acceptance of responsibility that all along, when he talked about this crime, that he expected to receive. I ask Your Honors to remand this case fully. Thank you.
Thanks. The case will be taken under advisement.